Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Son of Slovenia, cool as hell. He scores the ball and he rebounds well. Don't fight the future, honey. Don't fight the future. The future is Luka. The timing sucks because the Mavs are ass. But did you see his no-look pass? Whoa! 77 minutes in heaven.
Welcome to 77 Minutes, the Dallas Mavericks podcast, the only Dallas Mavericks podcast recording from Austin, Texas. I don't know if that's right. Anyway, I'm not mine. Went down to visit my parents. It's more Round Rock, Texas. It's a suburb, but that's where I am. We've got Saad Youssef. You appear to be in a radio office somewhere in downtown Dallas, Victory Park.
That is correct. I am in the studios of The Ticket.
Yeah, it's I was trying to intuit where exactly you were. I could see the little apartment building behind you out that window. So those are swank digs. So we respect it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we're just doing a quick podcast. I brought Saad on. It's been a while since you've been on. I mean, you're still covering the Stars, but I know you like brief chances to break out and cover talk about a Dallas sports team. You're pretty good at that. And there's just been a little bit of news. I don't know, you know, this might be our last podcast for a while. We'll try to hop back on, me and someone, if and when there's a head coach, depending on how it fits with my vacation schedule and all of that. But, you know, we've got some substantial news in which way both the GM and the head coach search are trending, and we haven't got your take on it yet, Saad. So yeah, I mean, let's just start with last week. What'd you make of the entire thing? And then we'll kind of work to where the GM and head coach searches are headed.
Well, I think, you know, not that you've probably heard this enough already, but I think it was a phenomenal job by what you and Sam did to kind of, you know, really set the stage for what ended up happening. And I think, you know, it was... The Donnie news wasn't entirely surprising to me. Like, honestly, like I wasn't shocked by it. It was just more of like a, like, I guess, taken aback slightly. Carlisle was a bit more because he's talked in the past about his relationship with Cuban and the franchise. And, you know, I like when I saw the Carlisle news, the first moment that for some reason came to my mind was Dirk's last home game when he brought Abby out to the court and was like, you know, you're the reason why I've been like Abby's been in the same school system for however many years. And like, I don't know, like I would like the stability with a daughter and all that stuff. I didn't see the Rick move coming. I the Donnie one didn't shock me, but I thought Rick was going to see it through. But then also, I mean, we both know Rick. We've talked to him about a lot of different things, asked him questions and stuff. You know, as you pointed out, like, if there's meddling on who he can play, what lineups and rotations, like, he's not going to like that. And he knows where he stands. I mean, he's the president of the Coaches Association. He knows where he stands in the pecking order. He's not dumb. So I think he knew that he could deserve better. And I think that's what he's getting in Indiana now.
So the bigger thing that I think happened last week was just the bigger through line was the way that we talk about Mark Cuban, and I think it's been something that's been changing over time. You're someone who's covered the Cowboys very closely and Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones has always been very open that he is a owner GM. Like, he has taken the GM title for himself. He's been very clear that he is the one making decisions in this front office. That's always been the case for Mark Cuban as well. But I don't, you know, he never was openly saying, you know, oh, I'm the final decision maker. Every decision goes through me. Even if there was an understanding that people will talk about that, as someone who has covered both of these owners of these two Dallas-based teams, why do you think it took so long for there just to be a public and very clear and loud understanding about Cuban's role in the front office? Do you think it's fair to say that people are just kind of now openly saying it and not dancing around it? And I'm just curious what parallels you see between those two situations.
Well, I think the biggest difference is the aura of the Nelson family, right? Because because Nelly was there before Cuban.
And that's a good point.
And then you look at Donnie, and Donnie will always have Dirk and Nash on his resume as one of the first things he did. And that was, again, pre-Cuban. Whereas when you look at Jerry, it's like he says that he's the GM and he's not shy about it. But also the guy working right under him as the de facto GM is his own son. Like, you can't really get an outsider to do that. So I think that the Nelson aura of Nelly and Donnie kind of protected that. But it's not like Cuban's been shy about taking some of the blame. Like, he's talked about his biggest regret as an owner was letting Nash walk. He's taken the responsibility for not selecting Giannis in the draft. Like, he does that stuff, but I think the reason why he hasn't been, I guess, you know, out there about that role is just because there is a, like, Cuban, as big of a personality and everything that he is, there still is a Nelson shadow in Dallas, starting from Nelly, going through Donnie, that Jerry never really had. Jerry is everything with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it's not like people don't understand that Mark had a lot of influence and a lot of say, and a lot of decisions were his own. We know about the Giannis decision, for example. That's one that's been discussed at end. Like you mentioned, Nash is another good example. It always felt like the way the Mavericks were talked about is that sometimes Cuban would get ideas in his head and step in and say, oh no, we're actually doing it this way, and overrule Donnie. Whereas it really went the other way, where usually Donnie was the person he was most listening to, that most of the, you know, and this has kind of been described in Mark Stein's reporting this week, and that Mark likes having a lot of different voices with different ideas and is in his front office, and he will listen to them and decide which one makes the most sense, or, you know, take everybody's opinion and kind of work it into his own decision about what path to take forwards. But I just think it's interesting how that really dramatically over the past few months, even before our reporting, me and Sam's, you know, there was a Bomani Jones segment on ESPN that I thought was very well done. I think it was in the week after they lost game 7, and it was pointing a lot of blame at him, at Mark, and saying Dirk Nowitzki covered over a lot of it, and Dirk Nowitzki was the one that he inherited on his team that when he purchased it. So I thought that was all very interesting. It's just a moment of inflection point for him. Let's talk about the GM search. That's going to happen first. Signs are now pointing to Finley being the president of basketball operations and someone being hired underneath him. What I heard initially after the Donnie was fired by the team, I was under the impression it would be flipped, that Finley would get his promotion to general manager and that there'd be a president of basketball operations over him. It does seem like it's trending the other way from, you know, Mark Stein is the most plugged in person in the Mavericks. I'll happily admit that. And it does seem like that's both what he's indicating and just generally where the search is going. Any big picture thoughts on what that would represent to this front office at large?
I mean, it really all comes down to what Cuban's role is going to be moving forward. And I think he has a comfort
in
level.
Charge.
Yeah,
still in charge.
Exactly. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, to go back to your question about the Cowboys, that kind of thing. Like, why is the person that is the right hand? Who's the person that's right hand man to the owner GM? It's his son, someone who Jerry can have power over, control over. And I think Cuban, in this situation, is going to be in a similar situation where he knows that, yeah, Michael Finley has, you know, he's definitely done his work. He's very valuable to the front office operations. But Cuban knows at the end of the day that Cuban can override him, and there's not really too much that Finley can say. That's why for years, when you even talked about the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, it was always Jason Garrett, right? Someone who was played there, was groomed there, and then someone who Jerry can always kind of, you know, override whenever he wanted. So in the same situation, I think that's kind of what Finley's going to be, where Finley will get his due. But I mean, look, if Donnie if Cuban had riding over power over Donnie, like, he'll definitely have it over Finley, and I think Cuban knows that.
It would have been insulting if they didn't give Finley some sort of promotion out of this whole saga after promoting him as long as they have as the next leader of the front office or general manager or what say you. I think that's certainly a good thing, that he will either be GM or president of basketball operations, whichever way you look at it. I do think that, you know, and he's certainly his own person, and he has a lot of sway within the Mavericks front office. And, you know, as a former player, as someone, you know, who is a different voice, you know, they haven't had former players in the front office for the most part. I think that's a positive development in a lot of ways. I expect the other person will have some sort of agent background. I wouldn't say it's certain, but I think that, you know, just reading the way the NBA operates and the way it's developed, that a lot of front office heads over the past recent hires for different teams have been agents or former agents or people with agent backgrounds. I think that is a valuable skill set to have in a front office. And it's something that Cuban has to a degree. He certainly has relationships with various agents throughout the sport. But, you know, hiring someone in either of the, you know, two roles we've talked about, I think makes sense for this front office to just kind of push towards the modern way of the NBA, where it is a player empowerment era and there is a lot of movement and there is a lot of understanding that relationships you have with players goes a long way. And, you know, agents are very equipped to build relationships with star players. That's why they're agents. You know, that's kind of the whole thing, that, you know, you have to get someone to trust you over time to represent you. And it takes a certain skill set. And I think that's why we've seen this development of agent front office hires, and I would imagine that's probably the direction it goes in, but it's impossible to say for sure. I know for a fact that they're considering, among people that have, you know, names that have been sent to, you know, the Sportsology firm that they're being represented, things like that. You know, there's no question that, you know, some names that Cuban is considering are not don't have that background, that they're more, you know, either former players or just people who have been in front office and kind of worked their ways up. So I'm just trying to read the tea leaves of where everything has gone just in the NBA at large over the past years. But I expect it all to happen fairly shortly, you know, whether it's a week or two. You know, I think that this GM thing will, and just the overall structure of the front office will be worked out probably within the next 2 weeks, if not sooner.
Yeah, and it needs to, because as Cuban has said, that's the first thing that has to happen before hiring a coach. So
right. Yeah. Exactly. As for the head coaching position, Rick Carlisle went to Indiana earlier today. We're recording on a Thursday afternoon. I thought that was interesting, especially a statement that he released, which I first read as more of a smartass comment about the way that Jason Kidd and Luka Doncic were both difficult point guards he had clashes with. And he was like, look at Jason Kidd, and, you know, that would be a perfect fit for Luka. I think you could also read it sincerely, and he may have meant it that way. But I think if you do, you have to read it as a bit of a slight towards Jamal Mosley, who wasn't even mentioned once. This is someone who worked 7 years under him as a head coach, is a known and reported candidate for this job. And if it was a sincere comment from Rick Carlisle promoting Jason Kidd as the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, then, you know, either way, I think he's throwing something, shade, digs, whatever, at someone in this statement. I think it's hard to read it. And, in, you know, whatever way you're reading it, it's hard not to see it as him being a bit of a smartass about the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And what kind of sucks more about that is, you know, after covering the team closely for however many years I did, and you are as well, we both know the assistant coach that Luka has the best relationship with is Jamal Mosley. Like, that is the guy who Luka has been, who since he's been with the Mavericks, Jamal Mosley is the guy that he works individually with and all that kind of stuff. So if you're looking for that component of things, Jamal Mosley should at least warrant a name drop from Rick Carlisle, who not only had him on his staff, but also is very well aware with the relationship that Luka has had with Mosley. So that was a bit surprising. And I do agree that I think, you know, there's been a lot that's been said about how Carlisle and Luka's relationship has been, but it also goes back to what Carlisle and Kidd's relationship was, and they got that figured out to win a championship ring, or at least sustainable. And, you know, I think that's something to be considered in everything that he said as well.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, to take a half step back, just in case nobody saw this, Carlisle recommended quite forcefully, especially for someone who's the president of the head coaching association. I was rather surprised to see it, but pretty forcefully recommended Jason Kidd as the next head coach and just said, you know, in my opinion, I think it's a marriage that would make sense. I don't think that the Mavericks have to hire Luka Doncic, you know, favored candidate. I don't think that's necessary. I think that Mosley makes a lot of sense. And if I was in charge of the hiring process, you'd probably be the person that I went with. But I don't think that it's a crucial situation where they, you know, their relationship with Luka is at a point where they have to hire, you know, the one assistant that he likes. Luka's 22. You know, he doesn't know exactly what he wants necessarily. I think if you had a very good candidacy and a very convincing case for an outside hire that you're convinced would both mesh well with Luka, but also give you a better chance at winning than someone like Jamal Mosley provides, I think that's a perfectly reasonable hire. I don't think Jason Kidd is that. It doesn't really make, you know, like he hasn't been someone who has garnered a lot of trust or success or accolades in his previous head coaching jobs. He is someone who orchestrated a power grab to get out of Brooklyn, or was it still New Jersey at the time? I think it was Brooklyn. I think he was the early stages of the Brooklyn rebrand. I could be wrong about that. But then, you know, went over to Milwaukee. I remember that being sloppy and messy. I just think there's a lot of, you know, even if Kidd's departure from Dallas, which was also sloppy and messy, even if that has been paved over, and even if he has fans and Mark Cuban and Dirk Nowitzki and the Dallas searching committee, head coach search committee, if you will, since I think that's about all Dirk's going to actually be in the next year. It doesn't feel like he actually really wants a day-to-day full-time working job, but he's happy to help out in this crucial situation. But even if he has fans in this search committee, I just don't see it. I don't see it personally. I don't see his resume being strong enough, and I don't see the idea that you would hire another coach who didn't exactly get along with his players and also doesn't have the strategic or results background that would really encourage you to say whatever, you know. Like that was kind of the Carlisle story, that, you know, he would make people mad and he would annoy people, but he would maintain his relationships well enough that it wasn't really a huge issue. You know, like it wasn't even like Luka this summer was saying, I want Rick out. He was okay with him returning. It was just Rick wanted to take his own future into his hands. But Rick has the results and the strategic and the X's and O's background to make up for it. And I just don't see that with Jason Kidd. I mean, he might be the savant point guard and can make passes out of nowhere, you know, throughout his playing career, but I just don't see the results being there. And that is concerning to me that he is seriously an option over someone like Mosley, just given the fact that I just don't think it's, you know, there are some coaches, and I'm just rambling, but there's some coaches that if you had hired them over Mosley, I could nod my head and say, okay, I understand. And that's not one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I also think that another element of this is going to be that, you know, how the coaching staff is then formed. Because if you bring Kidd on, that's kind of an awkward dynamic if Mosley is still an assistant there. But if you upgrade Mosley, that's, you know, that's his head coaching job. I think it's somewhat kind of like what happened in Brooklyn, where Steve Nash was the head coach, and then you had Mike D'Antoni there. And I think that was really important for that entire operation and how that went. So I think all, like, kind of not just the head coach, but kind of how it all falls in order is going to be interesting to monitor. You have names out there like Terry Stotts, though I would bet good money that Rick recruits him over to Indiana. But you have guys like that who would you know, probably be a good option. Like if you do give the job to Mosley, Terry Stotts would be a great assistant or something like that. So I think it's not even just about the head coaching job. I think it falls down the balance with the assistants as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I agree with you on Stotts. Obviously, you would throw a lot of money at him as the associate head coach who mm-hmm. has a, you know, you expect him to spend 1 year here before he actually goes and takes a coaching job he likes better. Now, there's so many appealing head coaching jobs that I'm just not sure that's feasible this summer. But I agree that bringing in a really strategically sound veteran experienced head coach, if you do make Mosley the head coach, then you bring in someone under him who has a really good grasp of strategy and stuff like that, and then you just say, Mosley, we trust you with the relationships and we trust you, you know, we're putting the structure around you that you're set up to succeed for the first year. And I think that would be an important element of you know, hiring someone like Mosley as the lead coach. But I don't know. You know, if you ask me today, I still think it's more likely than anybody else that Mosley ends up being head coach. But the Jason Kidd stuff is definitely real. He's being considered. I think he's being considered more than any other candidate right now. I don't think that it's a two-person head coaching race at this point. And to be frank, I think Cuban has a pretty good idea about what he's going to do already. But he just wants to make this GM hire first. And that is the right order of operations. But, you know, I guess we'll see. You know, it's still up in the air. These decisions will be coming down probably sooner than later. I would be shocked if we made it to even July 15th without both positions being in place. And until then, it's just a matter of seeing exactly which way this goes and whether Carlisle has any more interesting comments to make about the direction Dallas should go, which I think he kind of emptied the clip there, and so I think we're all good in that capacity.
Yeah, I think it's going to be important to get a jump on all that stuff as well with the draft, free agency, and like, you know, just implementing a new system and creating those relationships. It's all good, and you know, especially with Luka being overseas and all that stuff, like you just want to get onto that pretty quick. And so it's just wild to think where the Mavericks were 2 weeks ago. And even a little bit further back from, you know, sending the Clippers home to now just being without a GM and coach. It's just maddening to think about.
It is wild. Thank you, Saad, for coming on. We're going to wrap up here. Like I said, I'm not sure, listeners, when the next episode will be. Some of it will depend on news and vacation and scheduling and all that. But I would expect that at minimum we'll be back towards the end of July, headed into free agency, maybe wrapping up any draft activity, even though the Mavericks will probably be pretty quiet in that respect. We'll do all that, and we'll talk then. See ya. Don't fight the future. Please be nice to Luka. Future four-time MVP.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.